Hi.
Hello, Dan.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Great Debates.
Oh, it's the Great Debates, I guess.
Wait, Healy, you feel like you are the one who gets to... Were you welcoming the two of us to
Great
Debates?
Yeah, welcome.
Weird.
I don't like that at all.
Confusing. Do you guys want a debate?
Yeah. I'd like to jump right into a micro, for sure.
Okay, well, sometimes on the Great Debates, we incorporate themes into our episodes, and it's getting cooler out.
Oh.
It's now November.
Ooh.
Halloween is behind us. Rustling leaves and twigs.
Crunch.
Are crunching underfoot. And there are... we can feel the coming of winter in the winds. And so I thought it'd be fun if we did something we called Coolness Week.
Great.
It's catchy.
It's catchy, I'll give you that.
Coolness Week. Because it's not a time I think you traditionally associate with coolness, but it's cooler. So, and it's not cold yet, so let's call it Coolness Week. Right?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I've got the first... of our two coolness tops.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A micro debate.
Well, yes. Yeah, let's jump right into
taking
it.
Taking the pro. This topic submitted by listener Matt C.
We love our listeners.
Matt
thank
C.
you very
thank
much.
You, Matt C.
Very cool topic.
Hey, shout us out. We'll send you some merch, Matt.
Here we go. 3 minutes on the clock. Seeing someone wearing the same shirt as you is cool.
I'm Steve Healy. I'll be taking the pro. When you see somebody wearing the same shirt as you, you are on the same wavelength. And you have a source of conversation right off the bat. You've just made a friend. It might not last forever, but for at least 10 seconds, you guys are going to have a friendly exchange. You've come together on a choice of fashion and design, how to robe your upper body. You are in harmony and in sync, and you're going to have a cool little moment there. It is cool to see somebody wearing the same shirt as you.
It's not cool. It stinks. It's a letdown. It's a bummer. You don't want to look the same as someone else. The whole point of dressing is to express individuality. And when you see someone wearing the same shirt as you, especially if it's a distinctive shirt of any kind, then you go, oh, well, this guy had the same idea as me. Or like, oh, we shop at the same place. This stinks. Like now people are going to, everyone, that's the other thing is that like socially, everybody's going to point it out. Hey, you guys are wearing the same shirt. Ha, memo. Did you guys get the memo? Nobody likes that. That's not fun. Also, you're thinking about like guys' t-shirts, but if you're a woman and you're a woman, like if you show up to an event and someone's wearing the same shirt as you, that's
a woman's shirt
huge...
is called a blouse, Dave.
No, I would submit that a lot of, like, I would submit that when our great babes, our female audience, when they heard this top, they pictured themselves showing up somewhere and a...
wearing their Great Debates tee. And they were like, oh, hey, you got the Medina too. We're fans, Great Debates, have something to talk about. You connected.
Certainly
you,
oh,
you know what? Are you
that.
Single? Because my brother Derek is here. He's a construction worker, but he also loves to read.
What do you think is more likely? I mean, you're starting to joke around and that's always when you're losing, but like...
On the contrary, that's always losing. When I'm winning. Okay. That's
what
do
you think
is
really more
is
likely?
Over?
That wearing the same shirt is going
to
lead to you like
that's what
meeting
I'm just trying
a
to
new
give
single
you
person,
interesting
a new possible
about.
Mate, or do you think it's more likely that it's going to be sort of a nuisance and people are going to continue to point it out throughout the day and people are going to be like, aha, Blue Club, oh, you guys, haha, Stripe Brothers. It's like...
All of that is...
Nothing funny actually comes out of it. Nothing interesting actually comes out of it.
Everything you're talking about is people making connections. And making connections is cool. It's cool and fun to do that. And when people interact and make connections, that's when possibilities happen. Like, if you just walk through your life, you don't say anything to a stranger, fine. But if you are both wearing the same shirt, let's say it's a David Ortiz Red Sox jersey. You're both wearing it. Yeah. Hey, what's up, Ortiz? Yeah, so great. Remember that? Having memories, shared relationship over the socks. It's great.
Yeah, but it's also embarrassing because you're like, oh, I wore my... That's like a... I feel like, sure, if you're at Fenway Park and everybody... And you run into a dude wearing a David Ortiz shirt,
let's
the same
one
you have.
Let's treat the whole earth like one big Fenway Park.
That would be monstrous. We'd be like... It would be all white men and it would be terrible and the seats would be too small.
But wouldn't it
and
be great
would be
if
way
the whole planet
beer,
had
and
a
the people would be unpleasant.
Spirit of camaraderie the way that you get at Fenway Park?
Where that all would be great, but that is so
putting
far
our
from
psychic
removed,
energy toward
so
a
far
common
from
goal.
The idea of two people showing up and wearing the same shirt.
That's
there's
the first
nothing
step.
Cool. The whole point of being cool is being an individual, is being unique, and that's the opposite of someone having the same shirt as you.
Dave's best argument came after the buzzer was gone. Was it a buzzer beater?
Mm.
I started my argument before the buzzer rang, so sort of like the way, as long as the ball is in the air,
we might have to review the
tape. I got the argument out of my hand.
I think the buzzer had started.
Right.
Take it off. That's fine. You want to take it off? That's fine.
Deans, what did you think of the debate?
Here's what I think. I really enjoyed the vision that Healy created at the very in his opening statement, and even though I don't really think it's cool, I thought it was charming, and so I'm going to let him win.
Thank you.
It's not cool. Did you hear the words? I'm going to let him win.
Well, you know,
that's the only way you can win these days.
A W is a W.
Sure. Sure, if that's how you feel about it.
Fly the W, guys.
I'd rather lose with honor than let someone.
Well, you're great to
have someone let me win. Thank you.
You've lost with honor, with dishonor. Every way to lose, you've done.
Is this how you want to? Is this what you want to do today? We're about to play a fun game, and you want to come at me like that?
You know, you're right. Let's get into the fun game.
Buddy.
You brought a game for us.
Yeah,
we're in host chat. Right,
we're
Dan?
Definitely in host chat.
Yeah, and Dave has brought a game he'd like to play with us.
Dave, what game would you like to play?
Okay, so we don't know how this is going to go, but here's the basic idea. It's called Why'd You Fave That?
Okay. Ooh, maybe it's called Why'd You Fave That?
Why'd You Like That?
I think it's called Why'd You Like That.
Okay.
Because we're talking about Twitter, and they changed it from faves to likes.
Stupid.
But it didn't.
No, I'm glad they did that.
Really?
I think it's just everyone knows it's a like. A fave is like a dump. It's not even a word.
Did that really threw favestar.fm for a loop?
Right.
Are they now like star?
No, I hope not.
They're not like heart?
Mm-hmm.
Was the whole thing a gambit to fuck up favestar?
Right.
Maybe. Interesting.
Probably not. Okay, the basic idea is, and this was not prompted by anything. This was more of an experiment. Healy, what I suggested was, why don't we go through each other's faves? Not tweets we've written that other people have faved, but tweets that other people have written that we've faved or liked.
Right. I can look at your likes.
You can look at my likes, and I can look
at you. Which, by the way, a great fun activity to do if you're bored, pass the time.
Look at someone's likes.
Totally true. Pick someone who maybe you don't know that well, who follows different people than you do. Just look at their likes. You're guaranteed to find
make some funny, discoveries. Interesting things.
Okay. Healy, I did some deep digging into your likes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them kind of made me scratch my
things
head.
Things that make you go,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Here's one. This is just a little, this surprised me that you liked this.
Okay.
Okay. This is a tweet from October 1st.
Okay.
The tweeter is Sports Blog New York. It's some sports blog.
Okay.
Here's the tweet. Mets had their rookies dress in, quote, a league of their own uniforms and walk the streets of Philadelphia to grab the vets' coffee this morning.
Uh-huh.
And there's a picture of the Mets rookies dressed as the All-American girls' baseball.
Remember,
Like pink and yellow, and they're wearing dresses.
Yeah.
And you liked that.
Yep.
Why did you like that?
I remember thinking it was kind of cute and fun, Frank, to fall on your rookies. And I remember thinking the faces, the spirit with which the rookies were approaching it as shown. There's a picture with the tweet, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they look like they're being very game, right?
They're game for this.
They're playing along and they're being really good sports about
it.
And it was just good, positive energy. I don't know. I don't follow Sports Blog New York, so somebody must have retweeted that to get it into my feed. But yeah, I just thought it was positive energy. And
Healy's into positivity and positive
energy. I was surprised that you would enjoy, very surprising to me that you would enjoy the, first of all, hazing, and second of all, like making men dress up as women and like basically saying like, ha ha ha, you have to dress up as a woman.
I mean, feels like the mildest kind of hazing. Seems like it's in great spirits. It doesn't seem like any kind of, you know, you'd have to be a real stern thinker on gender issues to not think it's kind of funny to make these young guys dress up as specifically the league of their own guys. I really like initiation rituals. I don't love hazing, but I like when I hear stories about, like, you know, NHL teams making the rookies do something embarrassing or like buy an expensive dinner.
Right,
I love that stuff.
All right. Well, I guess well defended.
Yeah.
I guess now I know this why you like
it. It could be called defend your like.
Defending your like.
Oh, defending your like is great. Healy. Like. Let me upgrade.
You want to throw another one at me?
What? You want another one?
Sure.
Okay. This one, I just didn't understand this.
Okay.
The date is October 18th. And I'm going to feel, maybe you know this guy personally. I don't know. This is a guy named Aaron Haspel. Do you know him?
I don't know.
Okay, he tweeted, What study says is often not what studies say.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You liked that.
Yeah. This guy, he's
I can't kind of even parse this.
He's he just tweets sort of aphorisms. That's his thing.
Okay.
And they're often in this sort of like wordplay form like this one. And I think that his point is like, you know, when people talk about studies show blah, blah, blah. He's right that often that's not at all what the study shows. People garble scientific information all the time. I just appreciated the sort of concise way he plays with language. He's a Healy recommended follow.
He's at A Haspel, A-H-A-S-P-E-L.
I'm going to follow him now.
Yeah. What study says is often not what studies say.
Oh, yeah. And then there's an interesting, like, if you study something yourself, it often doesn't line up with sort of what academic studies.
So it's what study says in the larger sense of like study, like meaning the discipline of studying.
Yes.
Healy, another well-defended like.
Give me a real curveball.
Defending your likes.
This is defending your likes.
This is defending your likes.
With Dave Stevens.
Okay.
What was that guy?
Aaron Haspel is his name.
Haspel.
I don't know him personally. Never seen anything of his outside of Twitter.
All right, Healy, I'll just tell you who... I'll give you one more. I flagged a few.
Okay.
You tell me which of these people you want to defend the tweet from, and then I'll read the tweet.
Good.
Here are your options. Okay. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay.
Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Pope Francis.
Okay.
Or Moby Dick.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, Moby Dick, they just tweet lines from the book Moby Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise, I love... Well, why don't we do the Tom Cruise one?
Okay, so the date is whatever, a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise, at Tom Cruise, says, I hope you are all enjoying Jack Reacher, Never Go Back this weekend.
Yeah.
You like that.
Yes, here's what I like.
Defend your life.
Defending your life.
First of all, I didn't know that Tom Cruise had a Twitter. And then I found it, I think because somebody RT'd this one or something. And like, I don't know if Tom Cruise does it or if it's some publicity guy, but it's not like, it's not obviously not Tom Cruise. They don't say like, this isn't just official Tom Cruise page.
Uh-huh.
So it's in the voice of presumably Tom Cruise. And it is so Tom Cruise-y in its generic, like you couldn't come up with tweets this generic if you tried in a million years. There's no spin. There's nothing except just sort of positive, general good energy for like the projects he's involved in and the most sort of unerring path of triumph like, in Tom Cruise's.
It's like... it's like if you could almost neuter political speech somehow.
Yeah.
It's like lower than that.
Yeah. Even. Well, for instance, you mentioned Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Like he'll tweet something and has a voice.
Well,
and
do you want to defend that line?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. This was October 25th.
Yeah.
It says it was a picture of him with a huge crowd.
Uh huh.
45,000 plus.
Yes.
Biggest event ever of its kind, honoring our troops and their families on American soil. Yes. Hashtag rock the troops. Hashtag Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam.
Yep. Okay, here's what I liked about that tweet. The Rock is entertaining some huge number of troops.
Uh-huh.
And there's a photo with that one. And he's turning around taking a selfie of himself.
With the crowd
behind
him.
With the troops. He looks amazing. And the excitement and joy. There's like, you can probably see 2,000 people just in the immediate foreground of the shot. And they're so psyched. He's just... connecting in such a clear, positive, all-American way. It's the best things about America. It's the Rock being strong and cool, the troops being excited. They're all young, healthy dudes.
All very on brand for you.
Very
you're just really actually unironically enjoying.
The look on his face is like the Rock's face in that picture is so like he's
so good at the selfie. Well, the art of the arm extended selfie.
Yeah.
He's got
and
a good reach
for that. The kind of like the spinning around.
Yes.
Dolly
yes,
shots that
yes,
he does
yes,
are
that's
really
what he's
amazing.
Doing in the photo. And I like that he's in Hawaii, which is kind of a home base for him. I love it. I'm into it.
I think, for what it's worth, saw that on Instagram and also liked it.
Oh,
I also love supporting the troops. I think it's great
you
when the
do?
Entertainers do that. Yeah, these guys are like, they're doing a lot of hard, thankless work.
They're in harm's
they
way.
They don't get thanked? Are you kidding me?
All right, whatever, man. Do you want to be a troop?
Very dark, Dave.
No. But that's part of the reason why I didn't sign up to fight in the army is because they don't want to be a troop.
Well, you know, not everybody had the opportunities.
I totally agree with that. I understand that. But it is a volunteer army.
Sure. But it's not so bad for The Rock to be like, I love what you guys are doing. I'm with you. Let's hang out and I'll take a selfie with all of y'all.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But I am surprised how sort of like unconditionally you support the troops.
Well, I also find army. when I meet military people, I almost always get along with them. They seem like they have an earnestness and a genuineness that's really kind of contagious and cool.
Medina, are you ready to defend your legs?
I've got one for Medina to defend.
I'll right, defend my legs.
The date was March 22nd.
Wow, went back.
Jeez. Okay. Well, I'm not as active as you guys, so.
Okay, here's what's going on. Pitchfork mm-hmm. Media tweets. It's just at Pitchfork. Here's their tweet. Basically, their tweet is, I don't know if it's Ariel Pink or Ariel Pink. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Ariel Pink.
Yeah.
Ariel Pink is, quote, feeling confident about a potential run for political office with a link to his story. You like that?
I don't remember liking that. I wonder if I was drunk.
Well, it's a good defense. It's as good a defense as any.
Who's Ariel Pink?
I like Ariel Pink. He's a funny musician.
He's got that one song that you'd recognize. It's kind of catchy.
R. Stevie Moore type of dude. I think he's a Jew from Beverly Hills who ended up being a super weirdo. And
he might run for office?
And he might run for office.
Okay. So you don't remember?
I don't remember that one. Too far back, Davis.
Undefendable.
Undefendable.
I've got one for you to defend from 10/19/16.
Okay, recently.
6:32 p.m. It's former RNC chair Michael Steele. He's quoting somebody else called Shannon Bream, whose tweet was, HRC says open borders feature mark was about green energy. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Steele quotes that, adding the remark, and the sale of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Okay. I like that.
What, you like that?
That's
yeah.
bizarre.
What's going on?
Again, I remember liking. Okay, so I checked out Michael Steele somehow during one of the debates, and he had tweeted. Someone had sent something in the debates, obviously, and he just tweeted the word "drink" with exclamation points and a martini emoji, okay. And I thought that's. Fucking great. The former chair is doing the debate drinking.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't remember. Maybe it's just that, like, here's this guy's sense of humor on display.
Right. That's good. That's
loving
very
it.
Very cornball.
Well done, Michael Steele. Good job getting out there and having fun with it.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well defended.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, are you ready to
I'm ready
to
defend your life.
I love defending your life.
This is good so far.
Dave, Green Party USA, verified, tweeted, no, Jill isn't anti-vaccine or a 9/11 truther. Those were calculated Dem smears. Sorry to see I Am John Oliver and Rolling Stone repeat them.
Yeah. I wanted to... Okay, let's get a couple things out of the way. I'm not voting for Jill Stein. I've taken back my support for her. I don't think she's fit to be president.
When did you turn the corner?
I don't know. A few weeks ago after doing
some
thinking about it.
Only a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the more exposure I got to her, the less convinced I was that she would be fit to hold office, particularly the most important office. But I remember liking that. And my reason was I wanted to make it, I just wanted to have evidence that Jill Stein was on record as being totally pro-vaccine and not being a 9/11 truther.
Okay.
And that was the closest I could come to, well, not that the closest I could come to finding it, but in the moment I was like, oh, this is one piece of evidence.
Quiver.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But I still am upset with her for how far down those roads she went.
Didn't
it was really inexcusable.
Sort of at least allow anti-vaxxers to think she was game for their
Yeah, I think she was, but again, I would say, like, if that's the worst thing you're guilty of, if you have to go that far down the list, then I think you're a pretty good candidate for president.
Okay, how about this? This may have been an accident because you liked your own tweet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Tremendous, friend of the show,
yeah.
tweets, a reminder that polls are not votes. Votes are votes. Everyone has to vote. It was a big tweet for him. 4,000 some likes, 2,700 some RTs. You respond to him with an emoji that's like dead face,
yeah.
no expression.
Yeah.
And then you liked that yourself.
Okay.
What's going on there?
I don't remember liking that. Okay. My best guess is that I was liking the other comments or the other tweets in that thread, mm-hmm. that like the one that Mike said in in reply to that, and I accidentally liked my own. Mm-hmm. But I also, like, I'm not going to say that I did this consciously, but I do like that reaction.
Right, sure.
I do think that's the appropriate reaction. Because here's the thing. He's talking about, because he's saying polls are polls, he's talking about the presidential election.
Yeah.
And I do, like, think that it's a little ridiculous to tell people that they have to vote for the presidential election. You really don't. It really is your choice, and it really does depend on what state you live in. And all of the arguments about, like, no, but the bigger picture is everyone's, those all really do break down if you live in a state like California, where Hillary Clinton is going to win by 3 million votes. Sorry.
Okay, here's a like that I want to bring up because I think it might get to some actual, like, interesting opinions you might hold. Are you ready for that?
I'm ready.
You let Tim Heidecker tweets on 10/28/16, Bill Murray is a national embarrassment.
Yeah,
he is. And you give that a like. Talk to me.
Well, there's something. Okay, first of all, Bill Murray, you know, we live in an interesting age where our artists are often, I don't want to say, well, our artists are often vilified for things that they've done in their personal life that are unsavory. And for some reason, Bill Murray has gotten away with, I don't want to say gotten away, but here are the facts about Bill Murray. In sworn testimony, Bill Murray's ex-wife says that Bill Murray was an abusive alcoholic who beat her so badly that she feared for her safety, and she had to take her family, her children, to a basically like a safe house so that they would not be harmed by Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. This is so unconscionable and awful to me, and is so like the opposite of the image that most Americans have in their mind when they picture Bill Murray, that I almost don't understand how he got to this point. He literally like can do no, not literally, but he can do no wrong. And yet he might be a horrible monster, and I don't know why we treat him differently than the other sort of like people who we have come to understand are probably monsters, e.g. Woody Allen, I think, is like a decent, we think he there's something probably bad going on there, Cosby being an extreme example of it. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I don't really get the whole like, hey, I'm at your wedding. Isn't that fucking crazy? Hey, I'm bartending. Everybody, like, no one's going to believe it. Bill Murray's bartending. That whole thing to me is embarrassing. And also, on the night that Tim Heidecker tweeted that, he sang that it's the Take Me Out to the Ball Game as Daffy Duck, which everyone said was like, it's brilliant and hysterical. And I thought it was really lame. Mm. I was like, what is the point of this? Is he like? Is he drinking? What's going on? This is dumb. So I agree with him, but he's funny. He makes me laugh.
Do you not think that perhaps over the course of the last 20 years or something, he has transcended the guy that he was? He's become some. He has reached some new level of self-forgiveness.
I think that's absolutely totally 100% possible. But I don't understand why someone like Mike Tyson, who I think there's much more evidence that he has transcended his, you know, past mm-hmm. or whatever, has done some deep contemplation about mm-hmm. his mistakes, why that guy has a sort of permanent demerit on his record mm-hmm. and Bill Murray doesn't. I'm not saying Mike Tyson shouldn't be viewed through a certain lens, but I'm saying why not Murray?
Interesting. One more defending your like.
Okay. All right.
It's for you, intense. Dave. You liked Isaac Horn tweeted at Elon Musk. I love my Model S. Can I suggest one upgrade? Your current OS only allows 6 radio presets. Can you add up? Can you up that to 12 or 24 or even 36?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Who's Isaac Horn?
Easily defended.
Some guy driving a Tesla around.
Isaac Horn is a manager. He represents the Workaholics guys and among others. He's a friend of mine. He's great.
Bitching about his Tesla?
I did not take it as bitching at all. And I really
polite.
I wanted polite, the right. same way that Medina has sort of reached out to mm-hmm. the Tyson Airblade people yeah. with constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Look, I own a Honda Civic. I've got 18 presets or whatever it is. Cool, the Tesla's cool, only cool. got six. I was shocked to hear that. I thought this was. I wanted
that's
to.
Not enough presets.
I wanted to help the cause.
Yeah,
it's not enough presets.
You're right.
Yeah,
that's
it's
great.
Really not.
Well okay, defended. Cool. I loved defending your leg.
Yeah, it was good.
I think people can play this at home.
Oh yeah,
what a great.
I think it might get quite intensive to lovers played.
Ooh,
and especially if you introduced Instagram into the game. Not ideal that's for the radio,
defend
but
right, like.
Yeah.
Defend your like.
Defending your like.
Well, let's keep the ball rolling here with Coolness Week.
Coolness Week. Cool game chill, by Dave.
There's a chill in the air. Dave, great game.
Thank
glad
you
we
so
played
much.
It.
Thank you.
I have another top.
Okay.
The main event.
Yep.
Healy taking the pro.
Yes.
And that topic is trees are cooler than fish.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. This is not even close. Trees are so much cooler than fish. It's ridiculous. Trees clean out the air. Without trees, we would be living, inhaling poisonous gases. Trees provide the wood that we need to build our homes. They provide the paper that has been the mainstay of human civilization as we evolved and printed books and kept documents. Trees can live to be 5,000 years old. Trees can be as small as a tiny bonsai tree or as big as a skyscraper. The redwoods of California are humbling in their majesty. There isn't a single fish that's nearly that interesting or cool. Trees are calm. They say nothing, they do nothing, they make no noise, they never panic. No tree ever flips out or acts weird. Every fish is basically all the time having a spaz attack. So for those reasons, I think trees are cooler than fish.
Healy, you know, my one sort of hesitation of doing Coolness Week was that we so often, when the word cool comes up, we run into this issue where you make the mistake of confusing cool with general utility or goodness. And I think you've done it again.
Well, I think cool in the English vernacular has come to mean like positive and good as well as cool, chill, relaxed.
Well, let's put that in our back pocket for
sure.
Now. Here's what I don't think cool is.
Okay.
I don't think cleaning is cool. And that was one of your points was like, let me just make my opening statement, Healy. I can see you champing at the bit and I get it. I tell you to slow your roll. Cleaning's not cool. You wouldn't say, like, my washing machine's cool. It gets my shirts clean. That's ridiculous.
You could have a cool washing machine, for sure.
If it had some cool functions and stuff, sure. If it also, like, folded your clothes or something, did something unexpected. But trees cleaning the air isn't cool. Also, if that is cool, fish clean the sea.
Fish soil the sea.
Well, trees
we're
also...
We're still in opening statements.
That's... To say that one, I mean, more accurately, neither of them clean or soil the air or the sea. They're both part of the larger ecosystem. Like, in my backyard, trees litter my land with, you know, acorn and debris. I love them for it, but that they're not pure cleanliness. Also, trees themselves provide coolness, but aren't actually cool. It's not cool to make other things cool. It's cool to be cool. And the shade that trees provide is only coolness derived for other things and people. But trees themselves run hot. They need the sun. Got to get that photosynthesis, baby. You mentioned variety of trees. I would say that the variety of fish is so much larger than the variety of trees. From the smallest little piece of krill or whatever to the largest... fish
krill's
in
not a
the
fish.
Sea, and I don't know what krill is, obviously, but that's not the point. What does this say? Oh, yeah, trees. I wrote some notes down. Trees don't even move. How cool can you be if you're stuck in the same place the whole time? You just made a gesture like, oh, I have something to say about that. Do you want to say that right now?
No, there'll be time.
All right, I'm basically done with my opening statement. Do you want to get into some free skate here?
Yeah, let's have a free skate. I want to talk to you about cleaning. And maybe I used the wrong word to articulate exactly what trees do. But what trees do is they change the atmosphere around them into something more positive. And that's
not more positive.
What does a cool person do? They bring with them a chill. They change the very air around them becomes better. And that's exactly what trees do.
The idea that trees make the air better is entirely a homocentric argument that only a human being would make. And if we're talking about...
I think any organism, organic organism would agree.
Not so. If you're another tree, you would prefer that there was more carbon dioxide in the air than there is oxygen.
No, you're doing fine with the balance that you have. Also, you're adapting to the balance that you have. That's what's part of what's so cool about trees. They can adapt in so many different ways.
It's never cool to adapt. It's cool to be what you are and continue to be that. Dude, that's why we find fish at the bottom of the ocean who have been the same way for millennia and hundreds of thousands of years than like a
300-year-old redwood, or better yet, like a 3,000-year-old bristlecone pine. I mean, that is the thing that's like survived eons.
Well, you raise another interesting point here, which is that like the age of trees is not cool. It's not cool to be 300 years old.
Well, most
it's
trees cool in the world are less than years 1 year old.
I'm sorry?
Most trees in the world are less than 1 year old.
Well, that's too young. That's not cool either. Babies aren't cool.
I mean, for a tree, you know... Trees can be all kinds of ages. They're cool at all ages. Let's move on. Trees, as you pointed out, provide coolness. Shade.
Yeah, they're not cool. They make other things cool.
No. Any cool person like projects and shares coolness just by accident. That's really the key here is trees are... Everything they're doing is not intentional. There's no trying too hard with trees. They're just being trees, and it's awesome. Now... Fish, on the other hand,
a useless argument.
I want the cool listeners things to make other picture
cool.
Fish.
Fonzie didn't make Richie Cunningham cool just by hanging out with him. That's not what cool people do.
Listener.
They make other people look less cool.
Listener.
If you're cool, the things around you seem less cool,
listener.
Not more cool.
Picture a
you
fish.
Don't provide shade for other people if you're cool. You sit in the shade.
What Fonzie is providing for those guys is the human equivalent of shade. He's like supplying. That's why they want to be around it. Why do people want to be around cool people? They love it. No, nobody is repulsed by cool people. They want to be around it because they're providing some change in the atmosphere, which is seductive and interesting the same way a tree provides shade.
Now let's talk about you've mixed the metaphor here. Fonzie, you're right. Fonzie is the shade. He's not the tree.
No, he's the tree providing the shade.
No, he's yeah. That's ridiculous. No one would ever actually say that.
What would be the opposite of cool? It would be like panicking and flipping out, right? Every time a human interacts with a fish, that's what they're doing. Fish are constantly spazzing out. If you catch a fish,
well,
it
a
is freaking the fuck
natural
out.
Mode
a tree never
is,
panics.
Have you ever seen a tree
now,
get cut down?
What's more,
happens more and more every day.
Most fish.
I would argue that
it doesn't react at all. It's totally cool about it. Now, almost all fish in the ocean travel into school. There's nothing
that's
less
cool
than school. They're all hanging out together.
You're just saying
the word school,
school isn't cool?
It's true in the same way for human schools as it is for fish schools. It's not cool to be homogenizing yourself and part of trying to lose yourself in the anonymity of a big group.
Well, first of all, fish travel in schools for cool reasons.
They travel because they're panicked and they're terrified
of being
eaten.
They're not panicked. They know that if... Totally wrong. If they travel in schools, then they're safe and they can chill out. They can be cool. The scared fish is the one that's on his own. The ones that travel in schools do so to appear bigger than other fish
and
other creatures
in the sea. No, they travel
in schools
because they're like, we'll be torn to pieces. Let's all just hang together, act exactly the same, swim in exactly the same
now
way.
Now you're injecting
that is not cool.
A ridiculous amount of like logic and anxiety into a fish's brain.
No, a fish's life is anxiety and terror.
You're basing this on nothing.
No, I'm basing it on... I used to work at the New England Aquarium. I'm basing it on observations of marine life. They're panicky, spazzy animals. Trees never panic at all.
But Keely, you're not actually giving us a fair representation of the interior life of a fish. What you're doing
the
is...
The interior life
on
of
for
a fish
a second.
Is shooting electrical signals that are causing it to flip and flop and go crazy.
You're equating those actions... You're only looking at that through the similarities to human actions. It's not an actual representation of how cool it is or what it is actually going
I'm
on.
I'm not saying it's not.
By the same rationale,
if you wanted to find survival
by
instinct,
that rationale,
it's
you,
not
would say,
unnatural,
you would
but
say,
it's not cool.
Here's what's going on in trees' brains. I'm the dumbest thing in the world. I'm going to stay here all my life. I can't move. I'm dumb. I'm a tree. If you actually were going to like look at the actions and the sort of like modes of
that's
these
a funny
two different
voice.
Things,
you had some
it
fun
wasn't
doing that,
funny.
But tree really is going like, hey, what's up? I'm here. I'm going to live my tree life and not bother anyone. It's the ultimate cool attitude. Like a cool person behaves as much as possible like a tree. Nature never hurries, yet everything is accomplished. It's a description of the behavior of a tree but that flourishes through its own nature.
You're
without
showing your
any
ignorance.
Kind
if
of,
you think that trees are somehow more a part of nature than fish are, then you're showing your bias.
Listen, Dave, I think they're both part of nature.
Okay.
They're both important parts of nature. This is going to be my closing statement. I don't think that fish are bad or there's anything wrong with fish, but I don't think they've not evolved, they've not been created to be cool. Their survival mechanism is panic, is hanging together, is homogenization, is overreacting, spastic movements, quick movements. Trees have evolved to stay as they are, develop in a natural way, not make any expression, go the way the wind is going, evolve as they are born to evolve, follow their own path, create no emotional disturbance, and along the way project positivity, improve the earth just by accident. That's what a cool person does. That is why trees are cooler than fish. They're not better than fish. They're not more important than fish. They're not more natural than fish, but they're cooler than fish.
I didn't listen to anything you said. I was bored out of my mind. I'm going to win the argument right now with a bunch of new points. Here's why fish are cool. They hang out underwater where it's nice and dark, where it's like you can't exactly see what's going on. There's an air of mysteriousness to the underwater world. They attract each other with an incredible rainbow of vivid colors from the official fish of Hawaii, the Humuhumu Nukunukuapua, which is an incredible array of colors, to the standard sunfish or even the goldfish.
Are you crazy?
Excuse
you think
me,
fish have
Healy.
More colors than trees?
Excuse me, Healy, closing statements. The adaptations that we've seen fish evolve over millennia are so more interesting and unique and, I would say, creative in a cool way than that of the tree. I think of the blowfish. I think of the ink that some fish are able to release.
Well, what fish?
I don't know. The ink fish. That might be a fish. I don't care. They're able to hide and camouflage. Also, the literal temperature that fish live in is cooler than that of trees. A lot of fish go as far down into the ocean as they can because it's
there
cooler
are
down there.
Trees in Alaska.
Healy, do you have no respect for the format of the debate?
Well, you're introducing new points.
That doesn't matter. That's the way. That's what I'm allowed to do that in my closing statement.
I'm allowed to jump in on your closing statement if you introduce new points.
That's
I don't
not
agree with
true.
That.
I'm
not,
actually
Healy,
like legitimately
sorry.
Upset, Healy. We've never said that before in the history of the debates.
By the moderator's ruling.
By the way, motion to disqualify Healy. I think that I should win based on disqualification. I'm serious.
I tell you what, you can have an extra minute of closing statement.
I don't need it. I'm done, and I'm out of arguments.
Wow.
I had no idea that this would get like this.
There was nothing cool about this debate.
No, it wasn't
it
a cool
was hot.
Debate. It was hot.
It was dumb.
I loved it.
It was dumb hot, I think. Weirdly dumb hot. But I'm sorry, Davis. Healy wins.
Whatever, man.
I have a list of reasons why trees are cool, and I don't have a long list of reasons why fish are cool. Like something about ink.
Is this one of the debates where you're letting him win, or did
no,
he actually
I,
he, win?
This one,
oh,
he actually
okay.
won. I'm kind
well,
of
that's cool. Good for him.
I'm kind of bummed that I let him win the other one because then you know he actually won this one.
Hmm. I don't want any let victories in the future. By the way.
That's fine. I get it.
Let's talk for real, Dave. Do you think fish are cooler than trees?
I mean, I think this whole thing is pretty oblique and meaningless. I don't really understand the question.
I mean, I think fish are one of the lamer animals, actually.
Interesting.
Why?
I think fish are beautiful.
They are beautiful, but they are spazzes, right?
I don't know. Not all of them. I mean, surely there's got to be some like mild-tempered fish out there.
Like a marlin seems pretty cool.
I mean, you get a mark. I mean, maybe it's just in a human context, they're going to be spazzing out.
Well, if a fish has met a human, he's having a pretty bad day, yeah, generally bad day speaking. Right. Yeah.
What a bit of big tuna.
A big tuna? I was afraid Dave was going to bring that up as an example of a cool fish.
That's a cool fish.
Your top feeder fish are definitely cooler than your, like, medium.
Also, beautiful tropical fish.
Yeah, take me to a tropical reef.
I took you to Hawaii. Okay.
Barely.
Barely?
I think more that was just because you wanted to say the name of the
It's the only thing fish that came to mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you guys.
I think the other thing is that there are so many fish that we don't know about because, as we've discussed in the Great Debates, there are these reaches of the ocean that we'll never explore, and maybe in our lifetime, maybe Cameron will take us there, but who knows what's going on down there? No, the mystery is pretty cool.
Can I bring up a fish-related ethics question I'd kind of like to get Dave's take on? Mm-hmm. Dave, you and I have been, we went fly fishing at least once.
Yeah.
I'm like a very below amateur fly fisher.
Sure.
In fly fishing, like, you know, people get crazy about tying the fly and they study innards of a trout to see exactly what it's eating and they try and replicate it exactly. And then when they cast, they try and replicate exactly the movement of the fly. People have discovered in fly fishing competitions that cutting off the end of like a mop will work as well as like the finest crafted fly. And people are like, what the hell? That's duh. That's cheating. That's not true fly fishing. If you really wanted to catch fish, you'd throw some dynamite in the river. Like, that's not the point here. The point is fly fishing. What do you think about that? Should the mop fly be tolerated by the fly fisherman or not?
The objection is that it's not an actual fly. That's
being... it's just a piece of junk you bought at the store.
When we went fly fishing, did we use actual? We didn't do. No, it's we weren't not a fly fishing.
Carefully yeah, we were fly enough fishing. Replication.
Yeah, we were using flies. But true flies.
What's that?
We were using flies. Tied flies.
They were live flies.
No. We were using
replica
flies.
So who cares if it's a replica of a fly or a mop? I don't even understand the issue.
Well, the issue is like we've developed this art that is replicating the things of the natural world. You're cheating by using this thing that's not
a part of the different
bad
replica?
Art is as good as good art in this case.
I almost don't understand what the objection is.
That's, I mean, the people that understand it are furious. The people that don't, they take your side.
They're saying,
in a fly fishing competition, should you be allowed to use any kind of
implement. Well, what are the rules? Trickery. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, there are no rules.
Then it's there's like, no cheating. I don't understand. It's not a live fly. It's not an actual fly that you're using, right?
No, but it's a
attempt. I get it. It looks like a fly. Yeah. Well, so is a mop. A piece of a mop kind of looks like a fly. What's the big deal? Loosen up. Which side are you on?
I think, like, if you want to have this thing called fly fishing, don't go throwing mops in there.
You know, if you can catch a fish with a mop, you've done a great job.
Yeah, what's the problem?
That's another kind of technique that's involved.
Cool. All right.
I mean, people, you know, laughed at Dick Fosbury. They were like, that's not how you're supposed to high jump.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the Fosbury mop.
Well,
Fosbury.
I think it could ruin, you know, in the way
he gave you nothing for that.
In baseball.
It's fine.
Well, you know, wouldn't golf be easier if, like, I don't know, you could use a little gun to shoot the ball?
Yeah, but
that's not golf.
Well, there are rules to golf. Yeah. There are 32 rules to golf, and one of them is you can't, I mean, I forget exactly what the wording is, but you can't use any sort of mechanized thing to shoot the ball. So that's illegal. That's cheating. This goes back to my argument that golf is one of the better sports because
maybe
the rules are so clear.
Maybe fly fishing needs better rules.
Well, I think there's a chance that you're not so sure what the rules of fly fishing are.
Well, I'm learning all this
because you
from
said there are no rules, but it seems to me that there might be some rules.
I'm learning all this from skimming a New York Times article 77.
Right, yeah.
But basically, like, people are trying to stop the use of mop flies in fly fishing competitions.
I'm pro mop. Anytime, any kind of innovation or like skirting the rules but not breaking them, I'm always on the side of that team. Mm. It's always more fun that way.
It is. It's room for innovation. Well, guys, how cool did we get?
I didn't think the debates were that cool.
Did we cool you down? Super cool.
I think for coolness week, it was pretty.
It was not cool, but I think it was fun.
Why was I screaming about fish and who cares?
I think there's a strong correlation between the dumbness of the topic and the intensity of the debate.
True.
Interesting.
Someone at one point was talking about how Fonzie wasn't the tree, he was the shade.
Yeah, I stand by that. I stand by that.
Hey, listeners, let us know what you think. Yes, was Fonzie cool? Have you used a mop fly? Do you know anything about fly fishing competitions? GreatDebate69@gmail.
What are Twitter? Some cool things about fish that we didn't cover? Oh, what are some cool things about trees that we didn't cover?
Lay it on us.
Okay, guys, we'll see you next week. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.